What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer and certified run coach. Recently just got certified this past weekend. I did my certification through UESCA. I've mentioned that before, but it was super extensive. I highly recommend to anyone who's looking into getting certified as a run coach. Really gave me a lot of material and taught me a lot and kind of honestly just put words to concepts that I already had in my head, but I just didn't know how to explain them to other people. I feel like sometimes it's like you know what to do with your own training, but you don't know how to explain to someone else why you're doing it. Now I have all of the context behind why my training plan is structured in a specific way, and it's really exciting. So I'm in the process now of getting my website set up, getting all the business stuff on the back end, like all of the liability and legal stuff set up, and then hopefully I'll start coaching a little bit later this year. I definitely will say it is really hard. I do want to spend a lot of time coaching, and I want to be able to put my best foot forward with that, but I am very busy at work. Like, my job is definitely not a 9-to-5. It's pretty hectic, and so that with training and then with wedding planning and then just like having to take care of the dog, and we're probably going to be moving this year, and so it's just like a lot going on. I definitely have to figure out how to fit coaching into my schedule. Like, it's something I'm really passionate about and really want to do, and I want running to become a larger part of my career, and I have so many ideas of stuff I want to do with running. But it is tough. Like, having a corporate job is on one hand amazing because A, it's taught me so much. B, it's given me so much stability. And I know when I'm going to get paid. I have a manager, C, there's someone who's there teaching you and mentoring you and like kind of guiding you, which is awesome. And then D, I just think like the experience and learning how to be a professional, learning how to communicate effectively, how to write emails, give presentations, speak to management teams, like produce really high quality work. I just don't think I would have had that without my background of like going to undergrad business school, starting in investment banking, and then moving into corporate strategy. It's something I really, really enjoy. And I am very entrepreneurial. I do have a lot of dreams to start companies of my own, and I'm glad I have the business and finance background. Then obviously I understand how to hire a team to support me. So yeah, honestly, kind of getting ahead of myself, but not really. Like, I am 26 years old, and I do think I have the insight and the foresight into what I really want to do and what matters to me in life. It's just about figuring out the right time to kind of take the jump from the corporate world into working for myself, which is definitely scary. And I think a lot of times it's glorified on social media of like being an entrepreneur. I think working for someone else is way easier. Like, you're just told what to do. You get a paycheck every 2 weeks. Like, it's honestly nice. If you don't feel like working that hard 1 week, you can kind of slack off. Like, hey, you can't really do that when you own your own company. I mean, it's all dependent on you. And then there's other people who are depending on you for their income and stuff. So it's crazy, but I definitely do think that in my life, I am going to start several companies and just be an entrepreneur because I definitely have the grind in me. I have the passion in me to do things that I'm really passionate about. So that's exciting. I'm actually recording on a Friday today, which is atypical for me. Typically, I'll record on a Sunday, but I definitely have to say, like, Sunday is a day that I really just need to reset my life. Everything is hectic. I mean, the week is hectic. Monday through Friday, I'm going, just truly exhausted. This week, I've had to work till 1 a.m. every night, deep in Excel modeling, deep into the night. Brett's gone to bed before me every night this week. And yeah, it just kind of is what it is. Some weeks are just like that, and it's not a big deal. Like, but yeah, if I can record during the week, that's definitely preferable. It is kind of annoying because I feel like the times that I'm super passionate and like I have a lot of really good ideas flowing to me, I don't actually have time to sit behind the mic and talk. But then on Sunday, I'm like, okay, like, you need to sit at the mic and talk. But I'm just so exhausted from the week that all I want to do is just have a day to myself, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out, like, I love talking on the podcast. I have ideas every single day of stuff I want to talk about, but it's like, I don't have time to sit down and talk about it, which is kind of frustrating. There are so many things I would do if I had the time, but you know, I honestly think it's about making the time, and it's kind of just being realistic. Like, this season of my life that I'm in, I'm still in the corporate world and I really enjoy my job. I'm wedding planning and I'm really enjoying that process. So that's kind of taking the forefront of everything. And then later this year, I know it's going to turn way mortar running, just because Chicago marathon training will be ramping up and I'm going to start coaching and, you know, going to figure out my schedule. So we'll figure it out. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, I wanted to just give you guys a little update. I guess it's my mom and sister's birthday today, which is crazy. My sister was born on my mom's birthday. I've always asked them, like, was that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, but I think you literally black out when you give birth because you only remember the good parts of it. My mom was like, yeah, it was amazing. But, you know, I don't know, because my sister is a little tricky sometimes. But yeah, it's both their birthdays today. We're going to celebrate tomorrow. The fam is really growing because, so I have 6 people in my family because there's 4 kids. And then I'm the oldest. And then obviously my mom and my dad. And then I am with Brett now. It's so crazy because I still sometimes I'm like, oh, well, we're just dating. So, like, I don't know if he's going to be invited. You know, like when you first start dating someone, you're like, oh, they're kind of outside the family. But I'm like, no, now he is our family. I mean, I guess technically in 3 months he will legally be our family. But isn't that so crazy? Like, our wedding is coming up in 3 months. So I've been doing a lot of stuff for that this week. Ordering a bunch of stuff like my accessories, earrings, necklaces, my shoes, an outfit for my rehearsal dinner. I just want to get ahead of it and like make sure that, because some things take 2 to 3 weeks to ship as well. So I just want to make sure if I get stuff and I don't like it, I have time to return it and order new stuff. Like, I want to feel the most confident possible on my wedding day. I'm definitely going to try out extensions as well because the hairstyles I want to do just require more hair. Obviously, my hair is pretty fine and pretty short. So I'm kind of limited in what I can do unless I put extra hair in my hair. So I'm still trying to decide whether I'm going to do clip-in extensions or sew-in extensions, but I don't know. I'll keep you guys updated on that. But what I wanted to talk about today was authenticity, and I do feel like that is such a word that's thrown around, honestly, to the point where it's just annoying, like, be authentic, blah, blah, blah. I feel like I was told that so many times when, honestly, growing up throughout your whole life, you know, just be authentic. If you're just you, no one can tell you that you're wrong. Like, you are an N of one. You are you. There's no one else like you. Like, you're unique and that's your superpower. And I feel like that was kind of touted when we were younger to, you know, give us the self-confidence. And like, I was definitely the weird child. Like, I was super weird. I'm still really weird, quirky. I honestly always felt like I was the weird friend. There's a trend going around on social media right now. It's like things that you don't see behind the scenes. And I was just watching Renee Ngo. I love her. But she was like, one of the things she posted was, I always feel like the weird friend in the group. And I was like, oh my God, that hit so hard to home for me. I always feel really weird. I always get self-conscious that people are gonna like go home and then be like, what was her deal? Like, why is she so weird? Why was she saying those things? And it's kind of something that I've really had to just get over because it stopped me from like speaking at like group events. I would be like, oh, well, I don't want to talk because I don't want to be too loud. I don't want to say stuff that's weird. But it's like, you just have to own it, own it. You are you and you are amazing. It's so true. And I feel like I was taught that for so long and I was like, yeah, I believe that, but I didn't really believe it. And then it kind of took on a new meaning when I started social media because there was conflicting things. Like, on one hand, I had people saying, you know, be authentic, just be you. People are going to want to follow you because of you. But then on the other hand, I had people being like, well, you need to research the trends and figure out what other people are doing because, you know, that's how your stuff is going to like, quote unquote, go viral and how people are going to start following you. And so, you know, when you first start social media, you don't really know what you're doing. So you really do have to go and look at what other people are posting because I didn't have any type of pulse on anything. Like when I first downloaded TikTok is when I started posting on TikTok. So I didn't have, and that was in, when was that? 2022. So I guess TikTok had been what around since like 2019 or 2020, something around there. I feel like right around COVID is when it first came out. So I didn't download it until 2 years after COVID started. 2.5 years actually after COVID started. So TikTok had been around for, yeah, almost 3 years. So I was unfamiliar with the app's user interface. I was unfamiliar with even like how to navigate through the application, what people were posting, what was going on there. Like, obviously, I had had Instagram since, let's see, I graduated high school in 2015. I got an Instagram, I think, the end of my sophomore year. So, like, 2013. So, I had an Instagram at this point for a long time, for 10 years, 9, 10 years. I understood Instagram, kind of. But then Instagram started changing and it started becoming more like TikTok because the Instagram I knew was static images, and I was always like, yeah, I am just not that girly. Like, I am not aesthetic. I don't put a lot of value on aesthetics, honestly. Like, I really value when other people have the eye for that type of stuff, but I personally, I don't know, I guess that maybe I'm just, like, more practical. I'm like, meh, like, let's just get it done. It doesn't matter how it looks. So I was like, I probably wouldn't do well posting on Instagram or posting on social media. But then everything started changing to more of these, like, really authentic videos. Okay, well, first of all, I've always loved YouTube because YouTube is, like, less aesthetic. It's more just, like, you're just living your life, and how could the entire thing be aesthetic? You're filming yourself. I mean, honestly, some people are still really aesthetic on YouTube, but I just felt like it was more realistic, and I've always really been drawn to video content. When we were younger, my dad had this, like, little camcorder camera, and he would record me and my sister doing stuff, and we have all these, like, home videos that we've gotten digitized, and they're so fun to watch back. There's this really iconic video of my sister and I both sitting on the couch. We were, like, in Time Out, and there's the sofa cushion that obviously there's, like, the crease in between the cushion, and my sister's on one cushion and I'm on the other one, and you literally see my sister pushing her foot over the line, over the crease, and I'm like, she's crossing the line, and then she's like, I'm not crossing the line, like, we are screaming, bawling at each other, and my parents are just videoing this whole thing. Like, that's savage. That's so hilarious. But we just have funny videos like that, and every time my dad would take a video of my sister, she would run up and be like, I see, like, I want to see. But my dad was like, I'm still recording. Like, you need to do stuff so then you can see what you did. Like, she just wanted to be behind the camera. And just, like, it's so funny because she's still like that now. And, like, she's much more aesthetic, taking videos, photos, like, stuff like that. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, I started social media and I had to figure out, you know, what are other people doing on here? Because how are they successful? Kind of what's the recipe? And I feel like for so long, for like the first year, it was like, there's some sort of recipe for success. There's something that I don't know about yet and I need to figure out what it is. And I need to study what other people are doing to figure out what it is. Which in a sense is kind of true because like, if you are posting videos that the algorithm favors, your videos are going to get pushed out to more people. But is it always a good idea for your video to get pushed out to more people? Because do you really just want more people following you, or do you want more people who are interested in you specifically following you? I feel like for the first year, my objective was to go viral. And now if a video starts to go viral, I delete it because I'm like, I don't want to deal with the comments and stuff on it. I actually, on my Instagram, I have comments turned on only to people who follow me can comment. Like, if you're not following me, you don't have enough context to comment. Even if you are following me and you just followed me, you might not even have enough context to comment. And if you've been following me for a long time, the video is 90 seconds, so I likely can't explain every single side of the story I'm trying to get to. So, yeah, but I do think you can comment because then we can have a back and forth and we can talk about it because you know who I am. But yeah, I have my Instagram comments turned only on to followers because if you're not following me, I just don't know what would give you the right to comment on my video. So that's fine. Is that great for the algorithm? No, the algorithm wants more comments. The algorithm wants more people to be engaging on your video. I don't give a shit. I don't really care. I can't deal with hate comments and also hate comments from people I don't know. Not my vibe. So anyway, if you follow me, comment all you want. Honestly, please, I encourage you to so we can chat about stuff that I'm posting. But yeah, I just have my Instagram turned on to friends only and then my TikTok. Anyone can comment on my TikTok because TikTok's more restrictive. It's either like everyone can comment on it or like no one can comment on it. There's not a good middle ground where like only your followers can comment on it. There's one that's like if you're mutual friends, they can comment on it. But I'm like, I'm only mutual friends with like what, a handful of people. So that would not really be a good idea, I feel like, for TikTok. I don't know. Maybe they'll change that setting. Anyway, I recently was like walking Lucy this past week and I had this epiphany of like literally stop trying to look at trends, which I almost never do. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, well, I really want to push my growth more because to be quite honest with you guys, the more I grow on Instagram, the more I'll be able to rely on that as a source of income. So then I'll actually be able to do coaching as my full-time job and then start all these companies that I want to start. Like Instagram could fund that for me, which would be amazing. But I need like, you just kind of need a larger audience in order for that to be as impactful. And right now, like my corporate job takes up most of my time. So I can't even think about starting these other ventures. So you see the kind of middle ground that I'm in right now. So yeah, it would be awesome to grow more on Instagram. Like that's totally ideal. But I only want to grow more on Instagram if it's people who want to follow me. Like, I don't want shit to go viral and then just random people follow me that I don't know and then they're going to comment weird stuff. No. I want people who are trying to better themselves and who want to like, challenge themselves to do things that they never thought possible. That's what I want. And that's amazing. And I know that the community of people out there is so many more than that are following me. So obviously I want my videos to get shown to those people. But yeah, it's a fine line to walk. But it really got me thinking, like, the type of stuff that I like to post is very off the cuff. It's like, you'll notice I post a lot of stuff when I'm on a walk because that's when, like, my juices start flowing. I can't think of anything. When I'm sitting in front of my computer and my manager is asking me to do a million things and a million people are slacking me and I have emails coming through and all these calls, like, I can't think clearly about things, right? I'm just in go, go, go execution mode. So every time I get up and start walking, I'm like, oh, all these great ideas are flooding to my head. And that's why I often post a lot of videos when I'm on a walk. So I had this realization when I was on a walk the other day that, like, if the type of stuff that I like to post is just kind of off the cuff, in the moment, talking to the camera, then so what? So what if the algorithm is, like, valuing watch time and you should really make shorter 5-to-second videos that are, like, on a loop so that people keep looping and watching the video more and more times because you're putting stuff in the caption, like, blah, 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 whatever. That was something that was going around at one time and then, like, another time. Because Instagram, the engineers that are working in the back over there, can change the algorithm to prioritize different things. So maybe it's watch time, maybe it's likes, maybe it's views, maybe it's comments, shares, maybe it's, you just never know what it's going to be, right? And so the only thing that you can do is continue to post things that you feel good about. Like, that's seriously the only thing that you can do. I actually see a lot of people who are larger creators who started creating, like, during COVID time, posting, like, I don't even know what social media is like anymore. I don't know what to post. I don't know what people want to see. And yeah, I totally understand that confusion. And sometimes, like, it's like it makes you just not want to post anything when you feel like everything has to be so calculated and, you know, so trendy and perfect and, like, hit all the right comments and not offend anyone and make sure that you talk about all sides of the story and make sure that it's just, it's so much to think about that it's like it makes your mind swim. It makes you not want to post anything at all. And I think sometimes I actually feel very passionate about things, but I'm like, oh, someone's going to have something to say about this and someone's going to have something to say about that. And, like, truthfully in life, everyone's going to have something to say about something, right? And it's okay. Like, I think we've gotten to a point in our society where we see disagreement as a bad thing. We're like, everyone should agree with everything that we say. Otherwise, they don't like us. How unrealistic is that? Like, all of the time, I disagree with stuff my mom does. My mom disagrees with stuff I do. Same thing with my sister. Same thing with Brett. Same thing with my friend. Same thing with people at work. They don't think I did something the right way, and I do think I did something the right way. Like, that doesn't mean they don't like me. Disagreement is a healthy part of human connection. Like, again, we are an N of one. We each are very, very unique. So how could somebody agree with every single thing that we do? But I think in this day and age, like, the whole, you know, being scared of being canceled and cancel culture and, well, you're not being sensitive enough to this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my goodness, it's really, really hard to navigate. And as long as you post things, okay, let's take this even broader than posting on social media, even in life, don't be afraid, especially in life, actually more so in life, because who gives a fuck about social media? Honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What matters is the fact that you're able to connect with people. And that's what I love about, like, meeting up with my followers, but also just DMing with people. And, like, well, some of my followers will, like, send me pictures of their dog and their wedding dress and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, now I feel like we're actually friends, which is awesome. And I actually feel like we're having an impact on each other's lives. Like, that's awesome. But you're never gonna actually have someone get to know you, and you're never gonna get to know someone else if you're afraid of stuff. Like, if you're afraid of actually saying what you want to say and doing what you want to do. And not to mention, like, there's so much noise in the outside world. We're constantly asking other people, what do you think? Taking a pulse check. What do you think of this thing that I'm going to do? Like, do you think it's a good idea? And we're constantly kind of, like, taking surveys, and we're spending so much time going external that we don't even really know, like, what we want anymore. I think that's something I've been thinking about. I actually was listening, finishing up the David Goggins podcast on Huberman Lab. I had listened to half of it like a month ago, and then I finished it yesterday. And something that he was saying was, he was like, people spend so much time externally that they don't even know themselves. You have to spend an inordinate amount of time with yourself to be able to know yourself. And I just was like, wow, that's so true. Like, we're almost, like, taught not to trust our instincts because somebody always has something negative to say, like, oh, well, be careful for that and watch out for that. But, like, a lot of times deep down, we know what we want to do, but we're afraid to do it because we are thinking about what other people are going to say. Other people are going to judge us. And I honestly thought that I was immune to this. And it's recently been brought to my attention that, wow, no, I am severely impacted by being afraid of what other people will think about me. And I actually think, you know, this was something that I was always insecure about. As I was saying, like, I always felt like the weird friend and kind of just like odd. But since social media, it's kind of been exacerbated of, wow, you just had to be super careful and like not be too opinionated and not say anything too controversial, even if it's something that you believe in, which is like, that's kind of sad. And now I've also, like, I feel like I've kind of lost myself a little bit of, like, not being able to trust myself, even with, like, little things of, like, oh, I really feel like I want to do this, like, or I really feel like I want to wear this outfit, or I feel like I really want to do this to my hair, but other people are like, oh, no, that's weird. And then I'm like, yeah, you're right, I shouldn't do it, even though it's something I really want to do and something I keep thinking about. But yeah, I just think that we have to get better at like listening, literally listening to ourselves and knowing, like, literally no matter who you ask, if you ask your mom, your dad, your spouse, your friends, your manager, someone who you really look up to, your teacher, your dog, no one's gonna know what to tell you because no one's living your freaking life. Like, you are the only person who knows what you should do. Truly, truly, truly. And the more that we can actually just like act on that and listen to that gut instinct, I think the better off we're going to be in life. And I even think about like, oh, I feel like I'm going off the beaten path a little bit because instead of going investment banking to private equity, I went investment banking to corporate strategy. Okay, that's a little bit off the beaten path. Oh, well, I'm somebody who works in finance who posts on social media. Yeah, that's a little bit off the beaten path. But is there something I really should be doing deep down in my life that I know I should be doing, but I'm missing it because I'm just trying to kind of copy what other people are doing? Probably. And I have to spend a lot of time sitting with myself to figure out what that is. Like, are there things I'm not thinking about, right? Like, it's so crazy. When you're young, you have this whole trajectory laid out for you. You have to go to grade school. You have to go to high school. You don't have to, but like, you know, these are normal things for me that I was expected to do. Go to college, get a job outside of college. Like, I knew I was going to be working in New York City. Like, all of these things. I knew I was going to be working in business, finance, all this stuff that it's like, you got to start questioning. You got to start questioning what it is you really want to do. And are you really living your life authentically for you? Because the worst thing would be looking back in 50 years and being like, damn, no. I never really asked myself what I wanted to do. I never really said what I wanted to say. I never really did what I wanted to do. I was afraid of being judged. That's sad. That's sad because we have one life. And I think about that all the time. I'm very aware of the brevity of life. It's scary, but in a way that motivates me, if that makes sense. Like, I think about how short life is and I just want to go after the things I believe in. And I know I believe in running. And running's ability to change your freaking life, truly. And I want to be a part of that process for other people, and I want to teach other people how to push past their self-imposed beliefs, because it's something that has always rung so passionate for me in my heart ever since I was able to kind of conceptualize what I was interested in. Like, I have been interested in fitness, specifically running, specifically pushing hard, and training for goals, like setting big goals that scare the shit out of you. But you know that if you put one foot in front of the other and you show up for yourself every day, you're going to get closer and closer and closer. And that dream, that goal is going to become a reality. Because guess what? If you're dreaming about something, it's because it's meant for you. Whatever you believe, God or the universe or whatever you believe that plants these dreams in your head, they're planted in your head for a reason. I'm not dreaming about being an astronaut. I don't want to go to space. There's some little kids out there who are dreaming of going to space. It's their dream. That's all they want in life. That's all they can think about. There are some people who just like dream about painting and being an artist. There's some people who dream about traveling the world and living in hostels. I don't dream about any of those things. I dream about running. I dream about coaching. I dream about running marathons around the world. Like, I mean, that's what I dream about. And it's because that dream is meant for me. And that's amazing. And we need to listen more to that. And I'm getting really hyped up. But anyway, the whole point of this episode is to be authentic. And it just hit me. It hit me in a way that it hit my soul, that I finally understood it. Like, no, it's not just this cliche thing. You have to do what your heart and your mind and your body are telling you to do. And it's hard at first. It's hard. It's going to feel like, oh, really? Like, I really want to do this, but this is weird. do it. Just keep moving in small steps and listening to what you want to do, and good things are going to happen. And I support you. And you know what? Whatever it is, I have people who are like, I don't even know you, but I'm going to DM you like my goal for this marathon. DM me stuff. DM me goals that you have. DM me questions about running. DM me things that you're nervous about. Please. Like, I want to talk about it. I want to chat about it. And I want to be there for you guys. And I know that you're there for me. So be yourself. Be freaking weird. And have a good day, baby. I will talk to you next time. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I have to get back to work now because it's Friday in the middle of the day. But I just had to get this one out. So I love you guys so much. And I will talk to you in the next one. Bye.